Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Coyle and Patterson. People play real talk. Midwest Muscle in the house. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug free sponsorship foundation. Todo el mundo. If you are drug free,
Todo.
And looking for a solid foundation to stand on, like me and Desiree. In a vehicle to drive your goals. What does Desiree?
I can't even try. I'm just going to say it. Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
Check us out, baby. And put a little shrimp on the body. At pay4bmuscle.com.
On the Bobby.
And now, that's right. That's tough.
Let's talk. Okay, so I have a taxi cab confession. I have been living off of All Shucks, Alter Ego Extreme now for about a week. And I just took some. And right now, I've got all kinds of thermogenic reactions going on. I'm all heated up. And I'm all hyped up, I just get a little crazy tonight. That's what we got going on. So anyway, that's my confession.
Now you understand my world.
I'll put it out there up front. So, O'Kellen O'Patterson, how was your weekend been?
It's been like living a dream. I've been really happy. You know, a lot of stuff's going on in the area with the holidays and all the churches getting together. So it's been a lot of fun, a lot of breakthroughs, you know, with community involvement and society as a whole. So I'm really happy where things are going in the neighborhood and in the area and in the county. So it's been a good time.
That's awesome. And you know what? This time of year, there are also going to be a lot of breakthroughs going on in the gym, not only for the folks that, you know, the gym is their second home, but this is always that time of year where you have people stepping into the gym for the first time. And I just want to remind everyone, I know for us gym rats, sometimes it gets a little annoying. I'll say it, because you just want to get in, do your thing, and we have all the New Year's resolutioners who are also trying to do their thing, and then the gym is packed, and we have to wait, and we have to share, and sometimes we don't do so good sharing. I know sometimes I don't.
Oh, hold on, Des.
So
hold on, because people are thinking where they're going, where they know where you're going, but they don't have it right. And I'm gonna piggyback what you're saying. I'm also gonna highlight one point: is we've challenged ourselves to become better individuals. Physically, but you have to mentally take that step to make that happen. Now I'm going to mentally challenge you to pick a time that's least favorite for them and where you can get in and still get your workout. So basically change yourself after you've changed yourself so they can learn how to change themselves better. Because if everybody's fighting over the same stuff, then fight. Yeah, so we're going to throw that out there because it's like I've seen like 18 already. Right now, 18 people saying, yeah, we're sick of the revolutionaries. No, you're not. You're going to learn to live with them just like everybody had to learn to live with you. You had to start somewhere, and we all did, Desiree and myself included. So you guys got to knuckle up. You got to buckle it down because we've changed our bodies. We've changed our minds to change our bodies. So can't we change our minds again so everybody else can learn the things that we've already learned to know? Okay.
And so, that's
time.
Where I was. That's where
on.
I was headed before Papa O'Patterson came in and slapped us on the wrist. But, yes, I want to encourage everyone to be encouraging to those folks because, unfortunately, as much as I can get aggravated sometimes, because, guys, I'm human, all right? So, you know, sometimes I do get aggravated because I get impatient and it's all of that.
Hey,
but the thing, beyond that, hold on, but beyond that, it makes me sad to know that so many people will give up on their goals before they even get started. Because, you know, by February 1st, February 15th, those crowded gyms, not so crowded anymore. So I just want to encourage everyone to be as encouraging. And if you can help one person stay in the gym past February 15th and keep plugging on, you will have done a great thing. So, past February 15th? Because that's when most people fall off, really. If you look at the numbers of the newbies that start the gym and when they stop coming, that's about it.
Why not February 14th?
Well, February 14th, just to keep them there. Just to keep them there, that's the point.
What happens February?
On, but that's the point. What happens February 15th, 14th, 16th, 17th? I don't know what happens at that time, why they stop. They just seem to. That just
you're gonna love
to kind of be the threshold. You got to love them. You got to love them to stay in the gym. You got to love them.
And
you got to love them in there.
And that's Valentine's Day. That's where I was going.
Oh, sorry. I was totally missing that Valentine's Day. It did. Sorry. It totally went over my head. Totally went over my head. Sorry. Can you tell? It's not my holiday. Which I gotta learn to be better about that holiday now.
Wow.
I got a reason to be.
No love.
But,
wow.
But anyway, guys, yeah. But the point is valid. Love them into the gym. Love them into the gym. Help them stay. Try to have a little patience. And I'm reminding myself as much as I'm reminding anybody else who's listening to me. That's our goal, is to love people into the gym. Help them stay. And there you have it. So there's my 2 cents. One last reminder, we shared this last week, but I want to share it again, and you're going to hear me share it a couple times. January 18th, we are going to be co-hosting with our sister podcaster, Melinda Spencer. Her show, however, is at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, which is our normal show time. So what we're going to do is P4P Real Talk is going to be on the air at 6 time on the 18th. So we're still going to have a show. We're just going to be an hour earlier. So I want to be able to give you guys plenty of heads up. Put it on your calendar. I know several of us are used to just dialing in 7 p.m. Des and Kaylin are there. You know, you just know we're going to be there. And we're still going to be on a show, just not our particular show at our normal time on January 18th. So just kind of mark that mental note, Des and Kaylin on the air at 6 p.m. CST versus 7 on January 18th. Other than that, same bat time, same bat place, every Tuesday and Thursday.
This is from Corey. Corey wants to know if we'll still be taking questions if we're on our sister show.
Definitely. If you tune in to her show, you can still submit your questions the way that you always do, and we will be, Melinda's always very gracious, and she loves the interaction as well, so we'll still take questions and get those answered. So we definitely would love you to participate. So call in early and participate, and then call in again an hour later and participate some more. We'd love it. Please do it.
2 hours
and,
of Ted and Kate.
That's right. I mean, who could ask for anything more? Honestly, who could? Well, there's probably several things you could ask for more, but we won't get into all of that tonight. But what
hey, Corey,
we do want to get
you,
into.
Guys.
Oh. Thanks, Corey. Glad you asked that question. So we're glad that hopefully you guys are thinking you're going to join us twice if you can. Tonight we have a repeat guest, but it's not going to be a repeat show because it's an update show. And does anybody know who we're talking to? Do you guys get the notices? Have you signed up to like our P4P Real Talk page so you get the email every Tuesday and Thursday that lets you know who we're talking to? Who can tell me? Pop quiz, who knows who we're talking to tonight? Anybody?
Well, there's
nobody?
About 18 people here. Peter C.
All right. If I had a prize for real, I would give one away. We're going to have to come up with something to give away to our listeners
people.
To
Peter,
answer our questions. Right.
Peter,
yeah,
Peter Pumpkin
it's
Eater.
Peter Cosentino. No, it's, I don't know. I don't know, Peter C. Do you go by Peter Pumpkin Eater? Ever?
No.
Okay.
No, that one doesn't work.
They did the nursery rhyme.
They did. At least they had the Peter right. So you all get cool points for that. But, yes, we have Peter Cosentino, and he was on with us last year. And if you remember, Peter has got quite the story, and his story is not finished yet. But he was sharing with us how he went from morbid obesity to competing on the transformation bodybuilding stage. And we have just been so excited for him and his progress. And, Peter, for all of our new listeners who have joined us since the last time you're on the show, won't you please introduce yourself and share a little bit about yourself and your background?
Well, my name is Peter, obviously, as you announced. I've actually learned more about my past, too, going through pictures. But when I was overweight, I was taken advantage of. When I was a young kid, I was taken advantage of. And I'm about the age of 5, I've discovered through photos. And that's where the coping mechanism of overeating started. And, you know, obviously as a kid, that's how I dealt with, learned how to deal with pain, life, and everything. And obviously the weight just kept growing and growing, destroying. I mean, just absolutely destroying my childhood, robbing me of any real experiences, any kind of quality life. And, you know, my weight just kept growing and growing, you know, being, by the time in high school, being 400-plus pounds and, you know, just kept growing and growing and the misery and the depression and just the horror of this life that, you know, that I made. And, you know, by the age of 25, I was 555 pounds. And, you know, when you're, that crosses into what they call extreme morbid obesity. You know, your BMI index, you're more fat than actual body. You just, you know, the ability of just walking. I mean, you know, just, I remember just walking a block or two and just being done. I mean, that's, I couldn't really physically move at that point. And, you know, to be that big, you know, you're eating, I couldn't even, the amount of food that it took to keep getting big, it was this horrible cycle of addiction. And when I was 25, you know, I had to do something because I was going down very, very quickly with, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, all the complications that come with being that big. And my doctor, so we, you know, we did a version of the stomach surgery back then. You know, I was a 25, I was a kid. I was promised it was some kind of a miracle cure and life was going to be okay. I did it. It bought me time. But the problem with bariatric surgery is it's not a miracle cure. It's a tool. And if you're not mentally ready to put those tools to use, you will put all the weight back on. And I did, unfortunately. And you know, so I thought, like I said, it bought me time. It bought me about 10 years. But you know, lifestyle, just never doing, putting the mental tools together that it took. You know, by the time I was 35, I was 550 pounds again. And the doctors wanted me to go in for more surgery, and I already had ruined it. I stretched my stomach out. You know, I had a band. There's different versions by a version that's not nearly like the ruined Y like a lot of people get. So eventually, I mean, I just destroyed it. So at 35, you know, get more surgery and not fix the problem. And then I just had a moment cleaning my garage and just finding pictures. And just, it was that moment where I decided it was time and I was going to give life a real try. And that started me on my journey. And my journey just started out by walking and cleaning up my eating habits. And, you know, I walked for the first 6 months before I ever stepped into a gym. I was walking my dog. My chocolate lab at the time, Shelby, was getting old. And I, you know, you can, for those of us who have dogs, you're connected. They're your family. And you know when their life's coming to an end. So that got me walking, just making her and my other dog, Rooster, happy. And I probably lost around 30, 40 pounds throughout the summer, just walking and cleaning up my eating. And then September, when Shelby died, you know, it's we have, you know, there's moments when you, in life that you always remember. And I remember the night before we had her put to sleep, I got an email from the gym, and it's just like it was a sign, you know. So I signed up right there, and a few days after I put Shelby down, you know, I stepped in the doors of the gym, and I have not looked back. And it's, you know, I've lost so much weight and stuff through the time, but, you know, I've connected to a lot of people at the gym that I train at, and, you know, they'll tell me, like, they remember when I first started, and, you know, a common thing I hear from a lot of people is that they can't envision the amount of guts that it took to walk into a gym, because I know that a gym to a lot of people is a very intimidating place, but let alone somebody of 500 pounds. But, you know, I never looked at it that way. I looked at it as, you know, this gym, this place is where I'm going to save my life. And I never had one bit of shame walking in there, because I sought help for myself, and no one should ever feel ashamed about seeking help for yourself. And I never have. That's, when you're really overweight, don't be ashamed of seeking help for yourself. That's not the place. If you're going to feel ashamed, you know, and just, but not when it comes to going to the gym, that you belong there. That's a tool. And if you treat others with respect and kindness, they will treat you back and create an environment for you and look over you. And that's what happened. And, you know, it's been a journey there. I mean, I've learned a lot about training and all sorts of stuff. But as a lot of you know, in April, when I lost the 200-pound mark, I was invited to an inspiration dedication at the IPL Midwestern Championships. Mm-hmm. And I did it. I thought, you know, I thought this is a wonderful opportunity to show people that it's, you know, it's just, you know, what can be done. And it's not about how big or how small you are. And mm-hmm. I did it. And that's when I first did the interview with you guys. And, you know, that was a wonderful thing. I was still, at that time, very, very mentally immature, because it's not just how much you change your body. It's all a mental game. And so right after that, a friend of mine reached out to me, Dan Hunt, with Lion Pride Training. And Dan started coaching me. And Dan knew that I, you know, was in the gym putting the work in, but I didn't have the knowledge of how to execute the weight training and the different techniques and all that. So, you know, Dan stepped in, and I mean, you can see by my photos, he knows what he's doing. What he does is there's like an app, and he will send me my workouts, and I just write them down in my workout book, and then I go and do it. And I would highly recommend anybody that's kind of in that same boat to give Dan a try. I mean, you know, the way I look now is not just, I may be putting in the labor, but I have the help from professionals that really understand it to, you know, put the changes. And, you know, being overweight, there's consequences. You know, there's things I have to deal with, back issues, knee issues. And Dan's really able to accommodate the workouts for my body. We've been working together. We know what I can do, what I can't do. So professional guidance is crucial. And especially, you know, all the, a lot of New Year's people, I mean, set yourself up to succeed, you know, get yourself help, you know. Dan Hunt with Lion Pride Training, check him out. He's on Facebook and Instagram. You know, I'm a walking example. We're partners in this. And Dan's very special to me, you know. So I was going to go back on another IPL show in, I think it was June or July. And it was canceled because not enough athletes entered it, which was a bummer. But I put a lot of prep time into that show. And like I said, I was very mentally, very, very mentally immature still at the time. And just, I was struggling so much. I'm just accepting what was happening to me and looking in the mirror, practicing that posing. I hated it. I hated it so much. I I just saw this giant fat freak. And that's honestly how I felt at the time. And, you know, so when the show got pulled, it was brutal on me. I mean, it was absolutely brutal. So I knew I had to make more changes far beyond just going to the gym. So I started going to some help groups, you know, like all sorts of different kind of groups, you know, where just people from all, you know, overweight people, other people from addictions and stuff like that. And it was a good place to go and be able to share, you know, some experiences and just get courage, strength, and hope from others and give it back. And the biggest thing that I took from those help groups was I learned to make the transformation. I had to find faith. I had to form a conscious contact with God. So, because I needed something beyond just me. And in doing that, you know, I learned I'm not that special. I'm just a person. And those were some serious, you know, lessons that I needed to learn. Otherwise, I wasn't going to make it. I mean, I had so much doubt at the time, I just never quit. So, you know, the summer I kept going to those meetings and learning and just inspiring, and it's a wonderful thing. And then, you know, still, you know, struggling. I mean, you know, having days where didn't eat the way I needed to, even though I was getting help there, and, you know, but I never quit. That's the whole thing. I always looked at it, you know, you can have one bad day. It's about getting back up. And I always would get back up. And one night in August, my golden retriever, Rooster, who anybody that's followed me knows I have a very strong love for animals. And, you know, my dogs are like my children. And one night, we went for our evening walk, and Rooster just died. We got maybe 50 yards from the house, and he laid down and died in my arms. And when you could just envision this big guy down on the ground holding his dog, crying, and so many people came up to me and were so kind and offered help and support. It reassured my belief that of the good that's still out there. And there's a video that I put out kind of as a tribute to Rooster. If you ever want to check it out, it's on my Facebook page. And, you know, you can see that's very raw and real. I'm not afraid to show people who I really am. I have no fear. I'm not with that kind of stuff. But losing Rooster also showed me, you know, life, you know, how short life is and how fast it can go. And in many ways, it reignited the fire and the passion in me again. Because I had that emotion. What was I going to do with it? Go back to my old way of life or really dig in to my training? And I dug into my training. And about 6 weeks after that, when I went to buy some clothes, for the first time since I can remember, I was able to buy clothes that were not in the big and tall section. And in that one moment, I was reborn. I was set free. I didn't feel like an overweight freak anymore. I mean, I found freedom, and I've been free ever since that day to truly live my life. And, you know, it's just that was the most important goal at the time that I had accomplished. I mean, never been able to go into a store and buy clothes, you know?
That's very awesome. And, you know, that's an experience that a lot of us take for granted, that can just go to a store. I mean, yeah, sometimes we can say, you know, we can't find our size, but, you know, we can generally find something to purchase. And, you know, I'm just glad to really hear your recap, because every time I hear your story, I feel like you share something little more, or that we learn something new that maybe you hadn't shared before. And it just continues to give perspective and appreciation, not only for what you're doing, but just for health in general, good health, and what so many others are out there trying to do in regaining their health. And I know we're getting to the new part of your story, but before we get there, we've got several listener questions that are kind of piling up on us. So I would like to address those, and then we're going to get to the what's next, because this being free and liberated, this is a different part of the story that you didn't share with us before. So I'm going to hold on to this thought, but let's jump to some of these questions here real quick, and then we're going to hear the rest of your story. The first one that I have here is from Debbie, and she's asking, what are all the health risks involved with morbid obesity, and how long before people start to see them begin to decrease? And she's still referring to the health risks. So once you start to lose weight, how long in your experience before you start to see some of the health risks start to dissipate?
Obviously, you know, as you lose weight, you know, the arthritic conditions, the strain on just your joints, you know, decrease. But in terms of, like, diabetes and stuff like that and hypertension, that will come – that comes with eating correctly. The sooner you make the changes to eat the way you need to, the quicker those issues will start to subside. I'm a believer, and not a lot of people like this, but this is the truth of the matter, is it's you can, you know, a lot of people know you can work all day in the gym, but if you do not eat correctly, you will not change. It's, I'm a believer, it's 90% of what you put in your body. You know, you, that's the real key. Obviously, you know, your level of how overweight you are, you know, is going to factor on time, but when embarking on a journey like this, you can't ever put a timetable on it. You are creating a new lifestyle for yourself, and that very nature takes time. It cannot be rushed. If you rush into it, you will fail, and there's no way around that. You think, just think, what does it truly take to embrace and develop a new life? That is a process, and that time frame is different for everybody.
Amen to that. To tag on and follow up on Debbie's question, Bill is wanting you to elaborate a little more on what joint strain is.
All right. Well, obviously, when you're really overweight, you know, you get inflammation. That's the big thing with the joints. And, you know, diabetes and things like that weaken your tendons. So, obviously, with the joint strain and your tendons weaken, you're more prone to tearing. You're more prone to – that's what causes, like, a lot of the inflammation from it. When you're really overweight, stick to the pool for a while. I'm a big believer in that. You can get your heart rate into the zone to burn fat. But that's the joints. There's no way around joint strain and stuff like that when you're really overweight. It's just a situation you have to deal with, you know. There's supplements, glucosamine and stuff that will help, you know, stuff out there for tendons, but it's a work in progress.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, our next question, comment, is from Kyle, and Kyle says he's seen the pictures of your progress, and he says, mad respect, all caps. He also wants to know how you feel now as compared to mentally before you started this fitness journey you're on.
Oh, I'm, wow. Mentally, I don't sugarcoat it. Mentally, before I did this, I was dying. I was dying a very slow death, not just physically, but mentally, spiritually. I mean, I was just a person waiting for death to come. And now, I'm alive. Like I mentioned, I'm free. I'm free to truly live, to experience things, to, you know, go into any office and sit in a chair that has arms, wear a seatbelt, go on an airplane. I mean, life is, I'm so incredibly grateful, you know. But, yeah, that's, I'm very, very lucky. That's a big difference.
Amen to that. Amen.
Yes, have you blessed, very blessed. One of the things I would like to add about the joint strain, and this is coming from a trainer and basically someone who's concerned about the person that wants to get there, because like Pete was saying, that, you know, there's a hunger, but it also comes with a sense of urgency that's sometimes hard to contain, and we want to push through sometimes, and we actually go above and beyond and injure ourselves. And one of the things as a trainer I've seen with people that have come in and they're obese is that they start them running. And that's a big concern for me, because that's like saying with the joint strain, it's a lot of inflammation already. And basically you're aggravating that joint to the point where it won't do anything other than just further injure and further strain. So, you know, if somebody's basically trying to run the weight off, I would put a stop sign up and say slow it down, because body's already in a state of injury, and all it can do is worse if it's not done correctly, like Peter was saying. So I don't want anyone to overlook that fact. There's a lot of things that are involved in joint strain. You don't know the limit, I mean, how far in injury might be without evaluation. So there's a lot of things that have to go into account. And like, I'm thankful that Peter basically had a person that was mindful of all those things. So, you know, for the people listening, please be cautious, careful, because it's not something you just go into without the proper knowledge or the proper assistance, because it can further injure what's already been broken down.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Very true. And
thank
something
you.
I can add to people that have some joint issues, something that I do that reduces inflammation, and it's natural because I'm not a big believer on taking a lot of ibuprofen and stuff that does damage. But what I do several times a day is I make tea, and I make it out of ginger root. So I'll take about an inch of ginger root, cut it up, and, you know, boil it and then stew it for about 25 minutes. And that's a natural anti-inflammatory, and it works far better than ibuprofen, in my opinion. You know, that's just some things I do, and it's a natural. I'm big on finding natural solutions. I don't want to take drugs and anti-inflammatory. You know?
Yeah, we know that.
Right with you.
We about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right with you on that one. Okay. Next question is from Dale, and Dale asks, "Okay, how many people have you become involved with at the gym? And because of the added support, does it somehow slow you down on days where people are more inquisitive?" So now that you're, I guess, more popular, how many people do you generally interact with at the gym? And does it slow you down on, does it slow your workouts down when they have lots of questions?
At the gym, at the gym, I'm the person that's earned the respect of pretty much everybody, and everybody looks up to me. So people that know me know, you know, the time you get to talk to me are like when I'm stretching afterwards or something like that, or when I'm in the sauna. But people know when I'm in the zone. They just know, you know, us people that get into it hard, we just get this look and are always moving and timing in between our sets. But but afterwards, you know, I will give anybody advice. You know, I get it a lot. You know, I probably have anywhere from 20 to 50 conversations a day. I just, you know, it gets put in at the appropriate times, because when I get in that work mode, I'm in that work mode. That's serious. That's just the way I carry myself. I'm that just pitcher, you know, this big guy just training like a madman, but I got a big smile on my face. So because of that, I'm very approachable. But I don't want to get in my way. You know, people respect that.
All right, very good. So this time of year, you're probably getting a little more of that, but that's a good thing. Remember, we want to love people into the gym to stay. That's going to be my motto over the next several weeks. We're going to love them in. Okay, so here's a question with a little bit of a different twist. Brenda wants to know how to wean her kids off of snacks. It sounds like there's a little bit of discrepancy between styles. Her ex-husband is making snacking a pretty significant part of her child's life. She's wanting to try and wean him off. Any advice or tips there when you've got conflicting views on food?
That would definitely make it tougher. The way I would do it is I think the best advice I could give would be to do it gradually. You know, don't take away everything at once, but just over time. And then, you know, instead of completely breaking the cycle of snacking, mix some healthy snacks in with the bad snacks, and then just let the cycle work itself out. That would be how I would approach it.
And I would just encourage, too, as a parent, as a divorced parent, in trying to balance that lifestyle from one parent to the other, a lot of what you're going to do also is just lead by example. You know, it's tough to walk that fine line because you never want to bash the other parent, but at the same time, you want to continue to foster good habits, good practices, and just help educate and teach your child to adopt certain things as their own lifestyle. I mean, and if you can help your child do that, they will start to naturally carry those things over into the time that, you know, your child has with his father. And it takes time, but it's just consistency. It's you demonstrating those good habits and just really encouraging it, talking about the positives of doing it while you do it, you know, and kind of make it a fun thing of eating healthy and all of that good stuff. And your kids are going to pick up on it. And other than that, you know, just do a lot of praying, choose your words carefully, and just continue to be a good role model for the habits that you're trying to foster in your child. But that's a tough spot to be in when there's different parenting styles. So just my two cents on that as well. Kaylin, I know you probably have some thoughts on this.
Yes, I do. One of the things that we have to be mindful of is, and, you know, we're talking about reality. This is real talk. And if you're talking about a divorce, a lot of times it's something that made that divorce happen. And then many times it's in the form of some kind of abuse, some kind of neglect, or some kind of discrepancy in how a husband and wife should deal with each other. And unfortunately, that passes on to the children. And like Desiree said earlier, that, you know, children know. And some children will use that to an advantage where they might manipulate how things go around in the parenting so where they can get more snacks or basically do what they want instead of what they should be taught to be doing. Other times there's a time where the parent that's being abused will be abused by the child as well because they already know what the abuser has been doing and is basically taking on some of that trait and personality. So, you know, it's like it's very complex, but you have to be the adult at all times because you are the adult at all times. And we need to be mindful of those things as we're going about our respective lives and days. It's not easy, because you're basically having to face what you didn't in the marriage, but it does basically stop that reflection that the child is looking for and the response that they're used to seeing you do with the abusive spouse. And I'll just leave that at that.
And so, you know, real talk, they don't come with manuals. Divorce is it's never the solution anybody thinks it is in the majority of situations. Not all situations, the majority, but that's a topic for another time. So with that, hopefully that helped give you some ideas to think about and ponder and pray over, plan your next steps in dealing with your child. So, but with that, I'm going to take this moment to go ahead and we're caught up on several of our questions. So thank you very much for all of you who submitted them to us. All right. So Peter, we're at a part now where we're going to jump back to the next half of your story. So you're walking in the store. You know, you had the very sad experience of the passing of your second dog there, but you're walking into the store shortly after and you're purchasing clothes that you can just buy for the first time. You're feeling this sense of freedom. And I know one of the things we wanted to talk to is about how health and wellness has, you know, permeated other aspects of your life as well. So kind of pick up your story at that point and take us forward.
Well, you know, obviously when you have moments like that, the accomplishment you feel, it brings confidence and a discipline. You know, that's the one thing I love about this lifestyle is you can't BS it. You either do it or you don't. There's no in between. You know, it's one of the most, it's the most pure, raw thing you can do. So, you know, so having accomplishments like feeling freedom, and then that freedom giving me the belief that I can handle something like going ketogenic, and then mixing that with intermediate, which, you know, is that mental discipline taken to another level. And obviously that skyrocketed my weight loss and body transformation, but it's taken me years to build that discipline to get to that point. You know, having the discipline to, and the belief and the confidence to get into motivational speaking, you know, I've done a few speeches, and I had never done a speech before, and I did one, and everybody that came up to me couldn't believe I had never done a speech, and it was probably one of the most natural things that I, you know, I've ever done. And it's when I give a speech, I tell my story, and it's about saving lives, because I don't know who might hear that speech and, you know, could touch them. It could give them, or they may know somebody that that, you know, those words could touch. And that's what motivates me. That's what gives me my strength, is the ability that I have a gift that could save lives. And that, you know, I'm not afraid to walk up in front of 100 people and give my speech, or 5 million. You know, you can clap, you can boo, whatever, but those words could save lives. And that's what it's all about. And, you know, the mental discipline of going, joining a Toastmasters organization. If you guys, if people don't know what that is, that's an organization that works with you and helps you build your skill as a motivational speaker. Because, you know, you can have all the raw talent, but you have to get professional at it, like anything. And that's where I'm at with that part of my journey. You know, I'm working with organizations. I have a speech January 20th coming up at a health and wellness function at my chiropractor's office. And it's just, you know, time of year, a lot of people want to make those changes. So hopefully my story can help some of them. And then each time I give a speech, it's getting better. It's the experience, you know. And that's where that's at. And I'm also at the point where I'm trying to get my tummy tuck done, which is, it's frustrating because obviously, you know, I got about, they have tools and stuff that measure where you're at with that. And they've estimated I got about 30 pounds, 30 to 35 pounds of extra skin. And so that's, you know, that wears on my back, which is why I train with a weightlifting belt. And but my insurance said I don't need it because I only meet 2 out of the 5 criteria. And the 2 out of the 5 that I meet are the posture issues, and I will get ingrown hairs from the sweat. But I am actually being punished because I put on a lot of body powder when I train. I take, you know, 2 to 3 showers a day. I take care of myself. And that's, yeah, because I don't have rashes, they wouldn't do it. And I don't have hernias because I've lost weight slowly. A lot of people who have bariatric surgery lose weight very quickly, and your body doesn't adapt to that, and you get hernias. So I'm looking at some other avenues on getting the tummy tuck covered. There's Shriners is one that will do it for the donation of the skin. And there's also burn centers. So I'll get it done. I mean, I'm just going to keep doing what I do, you know, and we'll get there. And then I talked to you too briefly. That'll get done. I'm not worried about it. And then
our listeners are upset with you about the insurance not covering it. So you have their support.
You can't get mad at situations we have no control of. You know, I never let it get to me. It's you're fighting a system that makes no sense. You know, it's just, don't get upset. We'll get it figured out. Trust me. I'm not worried, you know. And then as I shared with you two, you know, on the 21st of December, my mother passed away. And that, you know, to somebody, you know, that's another test. How strong really am I? And, you know, obviously extreme sadness of losing your mother. And then, you know, a few days before Christmas. But, you know, some of the goals I was able to accomplish before my mom died was, you know, at the time, my weight loss was 277 pounds, and I'm down
wow.
to 1XL. And I was able to hug my mom, not an obese man, and that was the most precious thing I've earned. And it was a very personal goal, and I was able to accomplish it. You know, do I feel the addiction pulling at me? In times of stress, of course I do. I'm human. Addiction doesn't go away. You just have to learn the tools to deal with it. And I haven't blown one day, not one day of bad eating since my mom died, not one day of missing the gym, because that would be a disgrace to her memory. And it was such an honor watching her son, who was an immature man, you know, immature beyond words, and to become a confident, proud adult, you know, and that was wonderful, you know.
I'm going to jump in here real quick. I am, before we lose this thought, but first of all, just mad respect. Secondly, the question I wanted to get to, because Brenda asked this a little while ago, but it dovetails so well with what you're talking here that I wanted to go ahead and get it in before we lose the thought. But she's asking, who has been your mental and moral support on the tough days? And you've just keyed up some very tough days that have occurred in your journey. Do you have individuals that are there for you, or do you just motivate yourself? Or maybe it's a combination of both.
I'm very, very lucky to have people that I trust and I turn to at times like this. My coach is one of them. The other person that I'm very, very close to is someone named Maxine Fredericks. Now, if you guys don't know who she is, look her up. Maxine is a very inspirational, just the kindness that Maxine's shown me. And she's very much like so many things to me, someone I look up to, but also very much helping me understand what my faith really is. And, yeah, I have people, of course. Nobody's rock, like, solid. I mean, like, you have to have. But it's important that you know the people that you can turn to want the best for you. That is huge. And, my success is not just mine. It's that gym full of people who I refer to as my gym family. It's my coach. It's Maxine. It's, you know, every time it's people coming together to build me up. Then that's all that's happened. That's where I get my motivation, because people have chosen me to be this guy to help others. Yeah, you know, and that's what it's all about.
You know? You know, and definitely and for sure. And we're starting to run short on time here. So one of the things that you alluded to in our early discussions when you were coming on the show is that you have a big announcement. And I definitely do not want to end the show without you getting to your big announcement, which Kaylin and I don't even know yet what this is. So pins and needles, lay it on us. What is this big announcement?
All right. The big announcement is, and this, I'm excited. You guys, have you heard of the show Mr. and Mrs. Natural Minnesota?
Yes.
It's one of
good
the
show. Great show.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm going to be a special guest on that in this May.
Wow!
And,
woohoo!
Oh, big show. And what's ironic is a friend of mine, Nadine from the gym, she's elite bodybuilder, just killing it. But that was the first show I went to, and when I saw her on stage, I decided I wanted that. And I didn't know how or when I was going to get it, but I did, you know. And my association with showing up at shows is about trying to show people a different side to the bodybuilding sports community. You guys have been so wonderful to me on this, and a lot of people have judgmental opinions, and, you know, my presence there is to show people the love that's in our community of people, and that's what it's all about. And any show I ever come at or I'm asked to, that's what I represent, you know, respect, kindness, and compassion. It's, and that's what I represent. I'm an advocate. Will the day come when I cut weight and actually compete? Yeah. Do I care where I place? No, it's not about that. It's about showing people what you can do and saving lives. And that's what it's all about. And any show I'm ever at, that's why I'm there. I'm there just to give love back to all of you, because you've been so good to me. You know? That's what it's about.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I was going to say, and this is very important, and I want everybody to remember, as you progress, there's going to be people that are around you, there's going to be people that are part of your life, and there's going to be people that are in your life. You will challenge every single one of them, whether you intend to or not. And many times, there are people that are judgmental simply because they're truly judging themselves, but you just mm-hmm. happen to be the object or the person that's taking the brunt of that judgment. So, you know, that should never slow your progress. It should never slow where you're going, and it should never hinder what you're doing, because it's never about you and the fact that, you know, what did I do to them? No, what are you doing that they see is what you should be asking. And if the positive and progressive action or attitude, it's going to challenge a lot of people's thoughts. It's going to challenge a lot of people's ways. It's going to challenge a lot of people's lives. And if you're not ready for that, then like Pete was saying, then you better get ready, because it's going to happen. Des?
Yeah, and wow. I would just say, in challenging that, though, and staying true to yourself, you're going to see a lot of opportunities open up in different ways. And this is one opportunity that just happened to, I won't say just happened. I mean, it's been in the works, I'm sure, no doubt, on several levels, that has opened up for Peter, because he continues on and is consistent. And I will tell you that Mr. and Mrs. Minnesota, that's no small show. So
no.
This is a pretty, I mean, this is, I am so excited for you that you're going to be there as a guest. And I just hope to see you on more transformation stages, because, you know, the IPL is not the only organization that has that. The NGA has done a good job with really trying to grow their participation in the transformation stage. And so this is awesome, and so excited for you, Peter. Oh, my gosh. That is a big announcement. So excited for you.
It's going to be something. And like I said, I'm not afraid. You know, people can cheer me, or they can boo me, but I'm there. My presence there is to give love back and save lives, you know. And something I'll touch on just very briefly, that's something that I feel, because of what I've done and because I've walked the walk and talked the talk, that I need to bring up. And that's this normalization in our culture, that obesity is glamorized and made like it's some lifestyle. Now, every person has the right to live the life that they want if that's what they choose. The problem is it being glamorized is having a negative effect on children. You know, 1 in 3 kids are overweight, are obese. 41 million children on this planet under the age of 5 are overweight. That's unacceptable, and I feel I need, it's part of my journey to speak out and try to help these kids. And so when I'm never there and I'm speaking, I'm not afraid to point that out, because I believe that's why I survived.
Mm. Amen. I mean, and thank you for saying that. I appreciate
yeah.
it. I know, and I'm sure
to.
That there are several that do as well. Yeah. And you're right. This is about saving lives. And that's a lot about, you know, what Kaylin and I tried to speak to through P4P Real Talk, is sharing the information that will help impact someone's life in a positive manner. So, so glad that that is your stance. And the kids are important. And a lot of times in this particular situation, they're helpless, because they don't get to buy the groceries and they don't get to make their food choices. But they can be taught good habits and grow up to change those habits. So I really appreciate what you're doing. So thank you very much. We only have 5 minutes left. So I know one question we have still remaining is several folks missed the contact information for your personal trainer that has been working with you. So if you could repeat that one more time or folks could find out more information about him, that would be most helpful.
All right. His name is Dan Hunt, and he's with Lion Pride Training, and you can look him up on he's on Facebook and Instagram. You can message him. You know, he's on you will not regret working with Dan. You know, you'd see me wearing his shirts and a lot of stuff, you know. But that's Dan Hunt at Lion Pride Training. Said Instagram and Facebook, you can message him. And I know he has New Year's specials too. He told me that. So he'll take good care of you. And like I say, it's through an app. It's really simple, you know, really easy to follow, very well described what to do, you know, the proper posture and the technique. So I'd recommend it for anybody, definitely.
Very cool. And then our listeners also want to know how they can follow you, where to find you, and then also the dates and location of the Mr. and Mrs. Minnesota show.
Oh, you can find me. I'm on Facebook, you know, Peter Costantino. You look me up. I stand out from the other Peter Costantinos. But you can follow me on there. I will eventually get a website or something going. I'm working on that. But for now, you know, I post. I don't post all the time. I don't feel the need to post all the time. I feel when I post every 2 to 3 weeks, the kind of the way I look, you know, kind of speaks more than my words. And the Mr. and Mrs. Minnesota show will be May 25th and 26th, you know, and I will be going to the fitness seminar in February and figuring out exactly what I'm going to do, but I'll go up there and probably throw a few poses like I did before, and we'll go from there, you know. But yeah, May 25th and 6th, it's in Bloomington, Minnesota at the high school, I believe. It's a pretty big show, so it'll be fun.
Yep, it is a big show. And so, Reggie, you're wondering about the two-day format. A lot of the bigger shows, they are trending that way. So they'll have, you know, certain classes on one night, and then they'll have the remaining classes on the other night. So typically when you see a two-day format, that's what's going on. If you Google them, you'll probably see who's competing on what evening. And a lot of it is due to size. There's just so many competitors. There's just no good way to manage the flow and judging of athletes in one night. So to give the athletes their due, to give the judges plenty of time with their athletes, they split it up. And so it's a lot of it is just all in size. You'll see Natural Southern States Classic is that way. Minnesota Mayhem, I believe, transitioned to that format earlier this year. Mm-hmm. So the larger that the shows get, the more popular that certain shows get, they are shifting to two-day formats to accommodate the athletes and give a really good experience. So there you have it. And with that, oh, my gosh, we've got less than 2 minutes left. So, Peter, just any last parting thoughts that you want to leave with our listeners tonight?
Everybody just, like I said, it's a lifestyle change. And just remember that. This is not a process to be rushed. And I'm coming. I'm doing the stuff. I'm coming to touch as many lives as I can. And anybody out there, you know, if you have an area or a place I could come and give my speech and tell my story, it'd be my honor and my privilege. The same with any other, you know, bodybuilding shows out there. If you guys know anybody else that would like me to participate, that's what I do. And I will always share my story, and I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid at all. I'm free, and I want everybody out there to experience the freedom that I feel. But it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to earn it.
Loving you.
It's true.
Loving that. It is true. So just thanks so much for sharing that with us. Just really appreciating the real talk tonight. Deborah and Bianca, I know you guys have a question. Cindy, too, it's looking like about my placing at the Natural Southern States Classic and some of the promos we've been seeing. Girls, we're running out of time. That's a totally different topic, but I'm happy to share my thoughts on it, although I don't have a whole lot. But we'll have to tune in on Thursday to get that. so we can just vet that properly. But in the meantime, Peter's been awesome. He's invited you all to join the Freedom, so just kind of think about that. And on behalf of Peter, Kaylin, myself, and the boys from P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.